Blog Talk Radio.
Here it is, Rob.
Bring it, bring it, bring the noise.
Can't turn the swell off. The franchise doing big business. I live this, it's automatic. I win this. Yo, you hear those horns, you finish. A soldier, and I stay under you fighting. Plus I'm storming on these chumps like I'm thunder and lightning. Ain't no way you breaking me, kid. I'm harder than nails. Plus I keep it on lock like I'm part of the jail. I'm slaughtering stale competition. I got the whole block wishing they could run with my division, but they gone fishing with no bait. Kid, your boy hold weight. I got my soul straight. I brush your mouth like Colgate. In any weather, I'm never better. Your boy's so hot, you never catch me in the next man's sweater. If they hate, let them hate. I drop your whole clan. Lay your ass down for the 3 seconds. And
your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's the franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me, yeah. My time is now.
It's gonna be what it's gonna be. 5 pounds of courage, buddy, base, 10 pants with a gold tee. It's a war dance, a victory step. A boss stance is a gift, and you insist it's my rep. John Cena trademark, y'all are so-so. And talk about the bread you make, but don't know the recipe for dodo. Aiming guns in all your photos, that's a no-no. When this pop, your lip lock, your big socks are blatant no-so. See what happens when the ice age melts. It seems monetary status is not what matters, but it helps. I'm rockin' timepiece by Benny, if any. The same reason y'all could love me is the same reason y'all condemn me. A man's measured by the way that he thinks. Not clothing lines, ice links, leather and minks. I spent 20 plus years seeking knowledge itself. So for now, Mark Frank is living life for wealth.
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's a franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now. Your time is up, my time is now.
You know what, folks? That was the weirdest thing ever. Blog Talk had a little snafu there. So if you are listening to the archive show, bear with us real quick. That's all right. We'll get Mr. Robert Ford back on the air and continue on. So I'm just going to wait till he logs back on, and we'll keep it moving here. So my apologies for sure. All that good jazz. Stand by real quick. America, we'll get everything squared away. Rob Ford, you back on?
I'm back on, bro.
That was the weirdest thing, man. And I was just telling America, literally, I was like, you know, grooving. I hit stop, and it just kept circling. So the song kept playing. I'm trying to hit stop, and I will blame that on the Blog Talk era, folks. That was kind of weird. But anyway, we dropped about 7 minutes, but we can still have some fun here if we continue. Special Thursday night, but that's okay. We can still roll with the punches. That's what we do. Today is let's kind of get back started here as I reset for everyone. Today, of course, is Thursday, December the 19th, and, of course, you're talking sports for the 12-man Special Thursday night edition. To get things keep going like this, and then we'll have to keep it back on the regular night. But we are thinking about switching to Monday night real quick, so we are going to continue just due to the holidays and all that good jazz. But once again, let me check in with Mr. Robert Ford. Rob, how you doing tonight, sir? In spite of my little crap there, sir. You ready?
Doing great. We apologize about the technical difficulties tonight. We gave y'all a whole song tonight.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard the whole song. That's what made it even awesome. But that's okay. I guess let's jump right in. We got a lot of bold predictions to discuss. We're going to talk about the thing with John Gruden in Texas. Job is still open. I know they kind of reached out to me, man, so we'll see how that plays out. We're going to talk about some NBA. Oh, that good jazz. Let's get started. Rob's talking about these bowl predictions, man. The Glidden New Mexico Bowl, you got Washington State versus Colorado State. What do you think about this, sir? This is a pretty good matchup. Washington State, one of the first bowl kind of kicking it off of the season. What do you think about this, sir?
Well, let's tell the truth. It's not a pretty good matchup.
I was just trying to like psych it up, man. You know, what can I say, man? You know, go ahead.
I'm gonna go with the Pac-12 school here in Washington State.
Washington State is gonna annihilate Colorado State. Let's talk about the Royal Purple Las Vegas Bowl, Fresno State at USC. And for those that are watching, this is a pretty big game, especially if you're trying to follow Derek Carr. And this is a big opportunity for him, Rob, to kind of prove his worth against a pretty good defense in the Pac-12 and USC. This has got a lot more to do with Derek Howley handles a pretty good defense. Rob, what do you think about this particular matchup?
Well, now this is a pretty good bowl matchup right here, and I think you're looking at one of the better quarterbacks in college football. A lot of people don't know about Derek Carr. This guy has a potential to be a top 10 pick in the draft for Fresno State. Then you look at probably one of the top wide receivers in the draft, Marquise Lee at USC. So, you know, for all of you all, you know, draft junkies, this would be an intriguing matchup. Like I said, you're looking at one of the top two or three quarterbacks in the draft in Derek Lee and one of the top receivers in the draft in Marquise Lee for USC. So I think it's a very intriguing matchup here. I like USC, though. I like Fresno State to beat USC.
I like Fresno State, too, as well, especially with everything that's been going on with Ed Orgeron. I think they're going to be a little down, but we'll keep an eye on that particular matchup as well. Not sure. We're just going right along the first couple of bowls. They're kicking off the bowl season. This is for real. I'm not joking. The famous Idaho Potato Bowl. Wow. Buffalo versus San Diego State. I don't know. I'm throwing it down to you, Rob. What do you think?
That sounds like something that you came up with right there. Okay, that's
man,
awesome.
I can't even lie about that one, man. That's not even on me, man. But keep it moving, man. Keep it moving.
I'm going to go with Buffalo here in a slight upset.
Buffalo only because of the fact that I have no clue about – I like San Diego State. They actually had Josh Johnson there, Rob, and this is actually where Jim Harbaugh first got his first start a couple of years ago back, you know, before he went to Stanford and whatnot too. So, like I said, in spite of all that good jazz – I think Buffalo's going to pull that one out. The RNL Carriers New Orleans Bowl. I have a feeling that this has something to do with Rob written all over this, Tulane versus Louisiana Lafayette. I like Louisiana Lafayette in this, sir, but they've been playing well. I know they kind of have kind of a little. They were the top of the town last year. What do you think about this particular bowl matchup?
Yeah, Louisiana Lafayette has won this bowl the last 2 years, and they have a rabid fan base here. Even though the game is being played in New Orleans, they may even have more fans in the game than Tulane. But only reason I'm going to pick Tulane is because Louisiana Lafayette is going to be without their starting quarterback, Terrence Broadway. He's a dynamic spread option quarterback, and I think they're going to miss that element in their offense. So I want to go with Tulane, and what a tremendous job quietly that Curtis Johnson has done turning that program around.
Very, very nice. Let's keep it moving. I'm just trying to get to these bowls, man. Let's talk about the Beef O'Brady St. Petersburg Bowl. East Carolina versus Ohio. East Carolina has always been, they seem to be in a couple of these bowls, Rob, but Ohio's trying to play up strong. They played Ohio State earlier, too. What do you think about Ohio? What do you think about East Carolina?
Yeah, we basically go through these bowl matchups because we just like saying the name of the bowls, America. So, some of these matchups we have no interest. But we just like saying the Beef O'Brady St. Petersburg Bowl. And but I'm going to go with East Carolina. I'm going to go. I think they have a little bit more talent. And, I think they're going to pull that game out over Ohio.
Now, if you're still with us, which hopefully you still are, go to the call on the show. It's 424-243-9519. And as always, you can definitely call and give us your thoughts on any bowls and obviously the topics that we're going to go over. We definitely try to keep track of everything that's been going on. Hopefully you guys had a chance to check out our Facebook post. If you have not, you can follow us on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/12thmansports. Or if you do like talking sports with the 12th man, you can find us as well. We're also available in the Twitter world. So go to @12, THMAN Sports. And you will be able to follow us as well. Let's keep it moving, Rob. And a big, big, big news that's been going on, obviously, is the opening at Texas. And this is one of the situations, Rob. I think that you've got a lot of names out there. Texas has went on the record to say they put together an 8-person search committee to find the next coach. And it seems to me that Texas is kind of like the pretty girl that wants somebody to ask them to prom, but everyone's like, yeah, we already got our prom dates. And everyone's like, what? But do you know who I am? I'm Texas. And and right now, it seems like I'm kind of curious as far as who's going to fill this opening. You've got a unique situation, Rob, in that Texas can offer a lot of money, probably up to $10 million a year. But there's a lot of obligations that go with this Texas job, maybe a lot more media access, some things that people may not appreciate, or some head coaches may not appreciate. Maybe compared to kind of a Jerry Jones where you got like a lot of obligations, maybe it's just too big. But what are you hearing on the street as far as some potential names, and who do you think would be a good fit at Texas? And obviously the coach that's available and maybe coach that's already have currently have the job.
Well, who currently has a job?
Throw out both of them. Like right now who doesn't have a job would be a good fit, and then who do you think, if Texas had like a Christmas wish, who would be a good fit for them? And don't say Sean Payton either.
Well, I'll tell you this. I mean, I know we're talking that, John Gruden would love to, have be connected, and I think Gruden will be the big name splash that I think they kind of need. Some of the other names is being thrown around right now. I don't think they have the splash that the University of Texas needs. I don't think James Franklin is the answer. Mike Gundy, I think it's been slightly mentioned. He's doing a tremendous job at Oklahoma State. I think he would be a great fit. But if you're Mike Gundy, you have to ask yourself, is it a lateral move going to Oklahoma State to Texas, or is Texas still that much bigger than Oklahoma State? And so you have to ask your question. You've already established something at Oklahoma State. So I think, what you're looking at with Gundy is a guy who, who's excelled tremendously at Oklahoma State. And but if you go to Texas, where is the Texas job that much better than Oklahoma State? So I think that's the name that, you know, you can pay attention to. Like I said, I think if you're Texas, Gundy is not the answer. I think they're really looking for a big splash, even if they have to pull somebody out the NFL ranks. I hear they're even interested in talking to Mike Tomlin with the Steelers, but I don't see that happening. I think John Gruden would be more realistic.
I don't know why you don't like James Franklin, Rob. I think James Franklin would actually be a pretty good pick. I mean, for that uniqueness, I mean, you know, you may be looking for a splash, but you may be in a situation where he's done a fantastic job at Vanderbilt. You know, he's won there. I think it'd be a good opportunity for him to kind of take that next step, too. So I think that's a fantastic move, personally. So, you know, he may not have the big name, but I think he's kind of one of those hot assistants where it could develop. You know, you kind of pulled Mack Brown from North Carolina back in the day, and I think he can, you know, do a lot of things. I think he can fit that. He can win the press conference. You know, like you said, the only thing he didn't have before him, he didn't have that big, big name. So I think he's a great fit personally. So, you know, this is my little two cents on the situation.
I think he's done a tremendous job at Vanderbilt. There's no doubt about it. But I think at the University of Texas, they need a huge name to take over that job.
Gotcha. What do you think about an option for Lovie Smith? I know we're going to talk about him with the Houston Texans, but with his name mentioned as well, you think he'd be a good fit, or does he kind of fit the profile as far as being the big name, possibly to kind of fill Texas?
I think Lovie Smith could be a nice hire, too. I know he's interviewed with the Houston Texans, and he is, you know, a homegrown Texan. So I think Lovie Smith would be great for both of those jobs. But I think realistically, if he does get one of them, it's probably going to be the Houston Texans over the Texas Longhorn job.
Gotcha. We're going to keep it in the state of Texas, Rob. Let's talk more or less about he was a lightning rod last year, but this year he's kind of been a little calm. And it's just pretty interesting, Rob, because statistically he's had a better year this year, I want to say. But Johnny Manziel is coming up here, and he's actually said that he's ready for the NFL. Unlike you, but I said I was ready too. So, you know, we're going to keep it moving here. But I guess the question is, and if you're hearing some words on the street, that Teddy Bridgewater is kind of flip-flopping. He's saying he's not sure if he's going to actually come out, even though he's kind of a three-year graduate for Louisville. I don't know why he would say something like that whenever he could be the number one pick if you are the Houston Texans, who are on their way to get that number one pick. So, I guess let's talk about both of these guys here. Number one, I guess Houston's going to have the number one pick. Do you think they should get a quarterback? And should Johnny Manziel be the number one pick in the draft?
I think Johnny Manziel, draft stock has improved, and he could very well be a top 10, top 15 pick in this draft, but he still won't be number one. I think when you look at the number one pick, I think it's still right now between one or four players. You're looking at Teddy Bridgewater probably still being the number one QB, or possibly Derek Carr. You have to throw Jadeveon Clowney's name still is in the mix.
Yep.
Also defensive end slash outside linebacker Anthony Barr from UCLA is still in the mix, along with Jake Matthews. Those are the big names right there that you can look at. Out of those five players, they're probably competing for the number one position. Manziel is probably the third QB in this draft, or possibly even number four QB in this draft. He's the first-round pick, yes. Number one pick, no.
I agree with you. I think he's definitely going to be a higher pick. Something about Manziel, he's able to do certain things right now. Impressed with his game. And hopefully this year, Robbie's been able to mature a little bit more. I mean, that's kind of tough because he's still a young guy. And I guess that would be my only challenge with him, to see that he's been able to kind of weather the storm and kind of weather his emotions right now too. But a very talented player. Do you think he's a franchise quarterback, Rob, or do you think he should sit for a year, or do you kind of want to throw him in the fire? What do you think about his prospects of becoming on the next level, if you will?
Well, I think it depends on what organization he goes to. It kind of depend on, you know, if he has to start, you know, from day one. I mean, you look at E.J. Manuel, he was the only first-round quarterback in last year's draft. I think I picked number 17, 18 overall. And obviously he's had an up-and-down season with injuries. But when healthy, he's been a starter. And and Manziel, you know, will probably be picked somewhere around that 10 to 17 range. possibly a little bit ahead of where Manuel got picked. So I think it depends on where the organization he goes to. A lot of these organizations are throwing these rookies in the fire from day one. And and so obviously I think he brings a level of excitement, you know, a certain level of energy to your organization. So I think, you know, depending on the system, the offense he's going to, and what quarterback is in place already, he could very well be starting from day one.
Very interesting. I don't think he's anything like Tebow, you know, as far as bringing excitement to the game or anything like that. But he definitely has a certain knack about making plays. And hopefully, like you said, I think he can kind of grow into that player. I am very curious to see what team drafts him and also what position they put him in because, you know, obviously very unique player, wears his emotion on his sleeve, and hopefully he can continue to be successful on the next level because I know, like, the year before, he kind of had a lot of things going on right now, too, so hopefully he's kind of calmed down. And you get somebody in there, Rob, that can actually take the time to develop and help him become a great quarterback, which I think he can be for sure.
Absolutely.
Moving right along. I guess let's shift some gears here. And I can't wait for the draft to come up, too. If you're a Falcon fan, you're hoping that Jake Matthews is not drafted number one overall. That's a guy that I would personally like to target, but we'll keep it right along, and I can't wait till we get near the end of the season, and we'll definitely have some more draft shows. The combine's going to come up, and I know Rob does a fantastic job of putting together a mock draft, too, so we can kind of follow and see what happens in that instance, too. So we still got some playoffs to talk about and obviously the championship games and Super Bowl, but, you know, it's always interesting to see how everything plays out. I'm sure we'll see how it plays out with Clowney and all my other guys as well, too, so. Do you want to finish up anything else as far as draft talk, Rob, before we move on to some NBA talk here?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Anybody that's a follower of our show knows we get very in-depth when it comes to our draft coverage. I think that's one of the things that Andre and I specialize in. And so for any of our true draft fans, you know, probably starting as early as February, going all the way up to April, we'll be having mock drafts, draft talk. We'll be breaking down position groupings. And so anybody that's really into the draft, pay attention to our Facebook page. Make sure you guys like us on Facebook, number one, Talking Sports with 12 Man. And, of course, follow us on Twitter, at 12 Man. So you guys, at 12 Man Sports, so you can stay abreast of all of those exciting things that's going to be coming up here in the future.
Yeah, and I always give you a hard time a lot of times, too. But I think on both sides, not only in for the NFL, but also the NBA draft, too, I think we do. Especially you do a really good job as far as breaking down players and kind of giving some good background about that too. But we enjoy that. And as Rob mentioned, that's a highlight of us to kind of get in there and start breaking down position groups and just get some really in-depth descriptions about players and kind of what their draft stock is and how they're going to perform on the next level too. So we got about right about 6 minutes left in the show, and we are going to switch gears just slightly. Now we're going to talk a little bit, a little NBA here. And if you haven't heard, Kobe now has a left knee fracture and will be out for the next 6 weeks. So I really think, Rob, that he kind of jumped back in the game a little too quickly. I think he said he may have been ready, but he's not a young man anymore. And I don't know whether it was pressure or he just felt like he had to come back. But I guess the question is, should he sit out for the rest of the season? And if things are going the way they are right now, I'm going to definitely say, you know, just go ahead and put yourself on the shelf, Kobe. Give yourself, you know, one more year. If you want to go out on top, you know, kind of in a blaze, I mean, that's totally fine. Make sure you're definitely healthy. It is interesting that he got the number one votes for the NBA All-Star game, yet he's not even barely playing. But I would kind of sit him down for the rest of the season if I'm Kobe. What are your thoughts on this, Rob?
I totally agree. I think they, you know, not to relate your fans, but obviously I think from the health of the organization, for the health of Kobe Bryant, I think they really should sit him out the rest of the season, get him healthy. And, you know, obviously as a whole, the NBA is better when Kobe's on the court. And so you want to see everybody have the best players on the court. And but I think they ought to concentrate on getting him fully healthy and back for next season.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly about that as well. And, you know, maybe it'll definitely help for those young players too. Maybe it'll help for them to you know, get another young player to kind of help out, because I think they're an older team for sure. So that's the next option for them, I would think, for sure. Let's talk real quick as far as the Portland Trailblazers, Rob. Can they go far in the playoffs? And you talk about a player that's getting a lot of press is Damian Lillard, man. You talk about a guy that's just been an amazing, Rob. He's had some 30-point games. He's had some game-winning shots. What do you think about this guy? And I'm going to go soundly and say yes. I'm not going to quite say that they are going to go to the championship or anything like the finals, but I think they're going to definitely make some noise. They're going to be a tough out for sure.
Absolutely. I think the thing you look at, you know, a lot of times in today's NBA, you need at least 2 to 3 superstars to really be a good team, or 2 or 3 stars, not necessarily superstars. And if you really start looking at this Portland Trailblazer team closely, they're right there. When you talk about LaMarcus Aldridge, Damian Lillard, and then Nick Batum, these are three guys that are capable of being an all-star team, and they're going to be a tough out night in and night out. I'm not quite so sure. I like the way Oklahoma City is playing right now, too. And to me, they're starting to look like their best team in the West again, if they're healthy. So I think Portland can definitely at least get to the second round, maybe the West Finals. But I'm starting to lean more back toward OKC getting back to the finals this year.
Yeah, I'm kind of torn, Rob, because, you know, OKC, they've got Russell Westbrook back. That was a huge lift for them. And right now it seems like they're playing with a lot of confidence, as you mentioned, Rob. The West has changed, too. There's a lot of teams that are going to try to fight for this, you know, whether the Clippers are doing the thing. Maybe the addition of Doc Rivers is going to help them get to that next level. I think Portland is a dangerous team, Rob. If you get the right matchup, I think they can cause some damage, because you nailed it right on the head. If you have, you know, a balanced team, if you've got LaMarcus Aldridge, you've got Nicholas Batum, you got Damian Lillard. He may be a little young right now, too. That's why I think that may kind of hold them back, Rob. But I think the fact that, you know, they definitely have a lot of talent can help them, you know, kind of be a dangerous matchup for a team, too. So we'll definitely keep an eye on that. We got about 90 seconds, Rob. I want to let you kind of set the stage. We still have a couple more minutes. We're going to go to the OT portion. We're not going to spend a lot of time on the OT portion because of just due to time, and also because I know we had a little staff who's starting off, too. But you want to set the stage for next week and kind of wrap up the show, sir.
Yeah, as Andre mentioned here in the beginning of the show, next week, due to the holidays, we're looking at having our show on Monday night. And so definitely stay tuned for our posts on Facebook and Twitter. But we're leaning toward having our show on Monday night next week at about 11:30 Eastern. That'll be about 10:30 Central, so even the time will be slightly different. And for our good folks in California, where my fellow co-hosts will be on next Monday, it will be 8:30 Pacific time is the time we're looking at starting on Monday night. So obviously we're getting the stretch run here in the NFL when it comes to the playoffs. We'll be getting into that. We'll be getting into the bowl games. And, of course, it will maybe dibble and dab into a little NBA as well. And maybe even start getting to a little college basketball here soon, too. So you don't want to miss it. Like I said, we've got a great week of NFL football going ahead. And we'll be previewing the final week of the season on next week. So definitely make sure you guys join us on Monday night.
Gotcha. We want to give some shout-outs. Definitely listen to our shout-outs as we go to fantasy as well. Been a rough season for Dre. Robert's holding it down for basketball. But stay tuned for the OT portion. As mentioned, you can't listen to it live. You have to listen to it. Click on the same link, and you'll have us finish up the rest of some talk about where Lovie Smith is going to go, as well as some options within the next thing. So good night, people.
Good night, people.
And we are officially into the OT portion, and I like what we talked about. We are kind of talking about some NBA. Let's take the next step, Robin. Let's kind of kick it back more on the NFL side. And let's talk about Lovie Smith. I know we mentioned him earlier as far as a possible candidate for the Texas Longhorn job. Obviously, there's a huge opening with the Houston Texans. And do you think this is a good fit for him, Rob? And if he is chosen, I'm going to let you kind of be the GM here. If he's picked as the coach of the Houston Texans, do you think they get that quarterback for the number one pick, or do you think they're going to go defense? I mean, obviously, Lovie Smith is a defensive head-minded coach. You already have the foundation there with J.J. Watt, and Brian Cushing is coming back. What do you think the Texans go? It's kind of a two-part question here. If Lovie Smith is the guy, is he a good fit? And also, if he is the guy, are they going to go quarterback, or do you think they're going to go a defensive player with a number one pick?
Well, this is looking at their franchise right now. I think quarterback is still the most important position. Whether you're a defensive coach, offensive coach, you have to have that quarterback to be successful. And so I think with Lovie Smith, and I think to the kind of season that Matt Schaub had this year, it looked like his play is starting to deteriorate a little bit. I think you still have to look at the quarterback position. I think they still have enough twos on defense to win. You know, you can still get some defensive players in later rounds in the draft that can come in and contribute, as well as you look at free agency, as well as some of the pieces that they already have in place there on defense. And so, obviously, if Lovie Smith goes there, they're going to go back to a 4-3 defense. J.J. Watt will probably be more of a traditional defensive end in a 4-3 system, which I think could fit him very well. And I think, you know, they would be successful.
So the question is, so if Lovie Smith is there, do they go – so you're saying they're going to go quarterback with the number one pick, in other words?
I think so. With the number one pick, absolutely. Like I say, whether you're a defensive coach, offensive coach, you got to have that quarterback to be successful, and that's what they need at the moment.
Yeah, kind of an interesting change of gears, because earlier in the season, I don't know if you remember this, we were kind of going back and forth, and I was telling you, like, I wasn't sure that Schaub was the answer. And we were thinking, yeah, maybe we can hold on. But, you know, just kind of a colossal a failure for a team very similar to my Falcons, unfortunately, that they had a pretty good year before, and just a lot of injuries have hit them. And then the play of Matt Schaub has definitely deteriorated, as you said, and Matt Schaub has definitely lost a lot of confidence. And that's still a pretty talented team, I would say, too. So, you know, right now, I think if you short the quarterback position, they're still going to struggle a little bit, but hopefully that'll help them go to the next level and kind of make tracks to where they want to be, for sure.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
Let's talk a little bit about another player that unfortunately has had a little injury. He's out for the rest of the season. Victor Cruz, he has a knee injury, and it looks like the Giants are going to shut him down for the rest of the season, which I think is a great move. Unfortunately, if you are a Giants fan, this has been a rough year for you. You got out to the 0-5 start, Rob. You're destined to get a pretty high draft pick as well. We kind of differ, because you were thinking that quarterback was definitely on the radar. I didn't necessarily think that was the case, but is that still a view that you have, or an opinion that you have, as far as Giants may look at a quarterback too in the draft?
The Giants?
Yeah, the Giants. I know we were talking about that earlier. I think we're like, go ahead.
I still think they think highly of Eli Manning, so I don't know if they're going to go quarterback in the first round. I think when you look at the Giants, their offensive line is atrocious. I saw some plays of that game last week in Seattle. Every time Eli Manning dropped back, he was getting sacked. You know, he was getting pressured. I mean, it was just, I know that Seattle don't have a great pass rush, but it was atrocious. And that offensive line is in horrible shape with the New York football Giants right now. And they need a lot of help across that line. They could probably draft about 3 linemen in the draft this year. That's how bad the offensive line is.
Gotcha. What do you think about Victor Cruz? He's out for the year. Is this a good move for the Giants, further submitting their fate for the rest of the season, if you will?
Obviously they're not going to the playoffs. They're down. When you look at that NFC East right at this point, it's just between the Cowboys and the Eagles, with the Eagles holding on a first-place spot by game right now. So it's going to be interesting there. But I think if you're the Giants, you have to start looking at next year. Excuse me, America.
Gotcha. We're going to wrap this up pretty quickly. Let's kind of do some NFL predictions, and we'll finish up with some fantasy shout-outs and wrap up another successful Talking Sports for the 12-man. Indianapolis at Kansas City, I guess let's kind of give a prediction of this game. I'm thinking that I'm going to give a slight edge to Kansas City. I know they haven't been playing that well. Not that they haven't played that well, but I'm saying they've had a rough patch. I think they definitely want to finish strong. The reason why I'm picking KC is it's at home. So that's my prediction for this particular matchup.
What's your prediction?
I'm going with the Kansas City Chiefs, because it's at KC.
I'm going to totally agree with you there. The Colts, even though they're 9-5, they've been very up and down this season. Some weeks they look great. Some weeks they look atrocious. I think the Chiefs have been a little bit more consistent this year. I like them at home at Arrowhead Stadium, too.
Pretty big matchup coming up next, New Orleans at Carolina. And I know, like, the national pundits are saying that the Saints struggle a lot on the road. This is a very big game for Cam for the NFC South title. And what do you think about this matchup? Do you think it's going to be obviously it's going to be a rough game for New Orleans because they're still dealing with some road stuff. What do you think about this this particular matchup?
Well, I tell you what, you know, Carolina has won like 9 of the last 10, with their only loss being at the Saints, where the Saints dominated them a couple of weeks ago on Sunday night. But the Saints have historically under Sean Payton have been very good on the road, but not this year. I mean, this year they have struggled on the road. They've struggled on the road against teams that are very physical. Even though they seem to be able to handle Carolina's physicality a few weeks ago, this is a tough call on this one here. But I hate to admit this, even as a Saints fan, but I have to pick Carolina in this game. And just not liking the way the Saints are playing on the road. And even though it looks like the weather's going to be about 72 degrees, still a little bit of rain potential in the forecast, I'm going to see Carolina squeaks out a close game.
Very, very tough one, too. So we'll see how that plays out. I'm not gonna kick you while you're down. It took a lot of guts to say that, too, Rob. So, you know, good deal. I know the Falcons are going to be the sacrificial lamb. Excuse me, America. Falcons will be the sacrificial lamb on Sunday night versus – or Monday night versus the 49ers, too. But that's neither here nor there. Let's talk about Arizona at Seattle. Seattle's playing extremely well. Brandon Browner, if you hear what World Street, he may be suspended even though he's trying to appeal that. I still like Seattle at home. Even if they decide to kind of take it easy, it's a tough environment. I'm going to go Seattle in this particular matchup.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Arizona, and I think the job that Bruce Arians has done has been tremendous. I mean, they've really been playing well the last 5 to 6 weeks. But Seattle at home, I mean, that's almost a shoe-in, so I have to go with them as well.
Let's kick off with New England at Baltimore. And New England loses a close one to the Dolphins. Some bad plays that kind of did them in. And Baltimore trying to make a little comeback here. They just pretty much kicked field goals to beat the Lions, man. Justin Tucker, we posted that he's probably the best kicker in the game right now. You talk about a slow death by field goal. I tell you this, Rob, if the Baltimore Ravens are going to score field goals, they're not going to beat the Patriots. It's going to be a tough matchup there, the home team, but I may give a slight edge to New England, especially for the way that the offense has been struggling a lot, Rob.
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm going to go Baltimore at home here, too. I mean, Baltimore's offense has been really struggling as well, and they're ranked near the bottom of the league in just about every offensive category. But they might have the best kicker in the game in Justin Tucker. I mean, he just drilled a 61-yarder the other night to win it against the Detroit. I like Baltimore in a close one at home.
Yeah, like it. This is an interesting game right here, the last one, and we're going to finish that. I'm going to wrap it up. Chicago at Philadelphia. Now, Philadelphia, you talk about a surprise, Rob. They were on a nice little high turnaround. And if you would have told me that the Vikings are not going to have they're not going to have Adrian Peterson, they're not going to have Matt Castle comes in there. I mean, no one's good at him. They lost their top weapon, and yet and still they're able to pull off the game versus the Eagles. So either the Eagles are going to be really mad, or they're going to go back and kind of go back in their shell. Chicago, they've got some challenges of their own. Obviously, we knew that Jay Cutler was going to be rusty coming back from the injury for a couple weeks. Jake McNeil's been playing pretty well. What do you think is going to happen in this particular matchup? Do you think that Philadelphia's going to get the best of Chicago, another great match for the NFC North?
I like Philadelphia at home in this matchup. And the Eagles defensively had been playing a little better up until the Minnesota game last week. Didn't look like it just fell apart again. But I think they'll rebound, and I think they'll beat the Bears.
Let's get some fantasy shout-outs, and let's close out another edition of Pocket Sports from the 12th Man.
Fantasy shout-outs.
Yeah, that's okay. I think I've got. It's been a rough year for yours truly. I hate the fact that I was up and then ended up losing to a freaking first round game, but that's okay. You know, life is what it is. But you know, our crew's still going on. You know, Wayne in our second league, obviously he's doing his thing. I got to look it up, Rob, to check out who's the first one in our official 12-man one.
Yeah,
but,
how could I have it? Our fantasy football league number one, actually, yours truly, Robert Ford, the Gladiators, going against Aaron up in Connecticut, the Bulldogs. He and I are going against each other for the championship matchup in our fantasy football league number one. And so that will be your matchup. In our fantasy football league number two, Wayne, Crazy Crew in the Atlanta area, going against Ronald, Saints Pelicans 23 in the New Orleans area for the championship in our fantasy football league number two. So, yeah, once again, we certainly appreciate everybody for competing. And obviously, now just an update on our fantasy basketball league. Yours truly still holding on the first place spot in the fantasy basketball league. So, definitely we appreciate all of our competitors in all three of our fantasy leagues right now. And we certainly look forward to continued competition over the year. So we appreciate everybody. Once again, everybody, if you can please like us on Facebook, Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Follow us at Twitter, at Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Any closing remarks, Andre?
Just wanted to just have to piggyback on that and say thank you for listening. I know you guys have been great, and we apologize for the technical difficulties earlier for the show. I apologize, Rob, too, for some reason. It would not let me shut off that song. So, you know, if you were listening, hey, you got like a full
we got the whole song in
the night. Song. Yeah, so we were able to call back in and make it work too. So that's going to be interesting for folks listening. But anyway, like you said, as Rob mentioned, next week we're going to be back on Monday just for the holidays. We'll probably jump on. You know, I'm going to do my best to call in right after the game. Obviously, I'll be in California, so we'll make that work. Thank you, Rob, for a great show. I'll let you wrap it up and say anything else before we officially turn it off.
I think that's going to be it. We certainly appreciate everybody for listening and tuning in. We look forward to you all joining us on Monday night next week, 11:30 Eastern, 10:30 Central, 8:30 Pacific time. We'll have a lot to talk about, people. Good night, America.
Good night, people.